G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post Preview Podcast for the weekend of Saturday, August 5. I'm John Barker. Joining me once again, Joel Marshall and Carl Diorio. Carl, we're coming to you live from the bunker. It's just a pity the listeners can't see the setup in here. It's looking extremely professional as part of the Racing.com overhaul. How do you think it's all going?
Yeah, well, it's a new start, isn't it? They've redesigned it and got the studio up and going. Not all the gizmos and gadgets and tools have been unveiled, from what I'm told. But the feedback seems to be okay, and yeah, I'd be curious to see how it goes on Saturday. That's really the main test, isn't it?
Absolutely. Did very much enjoy Wednesday's kickoff of South Australia on Racing.com. Joel, the Missile Stakes is the main attraction on Saturday. Just the nine to go around. Traditionally been a race where some top horses have resumed and won. Only three of the nine are resuming this time, but they include your selection, Le Romaine, already approved three-time Group 1 winner, and could have more Group 1s in his future.
Yes, Chris Lee's, it's a big race for him. He kicks off with a couple of his stars, Le Romaine, and also the new season four-year-old Invincible Gem, who really rose to prominence through the three-year-old autumn, going from a maiden win to a Group 1 second. But Le Romaine, the horse you speak of, he's trying to do what he did last prep and win a feature sprint first up and then go on and win a Group 1 second up, because they're eyeing off the Memsie, trying to dodge Winks. Obviously, he went through a handicap preparation last spring, but more a weight for age prep now that he's probably out of the handicap. So Memsie second up, the likely option. And speaking to Chris this week, he said if they can get a slot in the Everest, he may be freshened up and returned to Sydney for the 1200 of the Everest. Otherwise, the Maccabi Diva shapes up as a third up option. But all that aside, I think he'd be very hard to beat first up, obviously. He handles all conditions. The track's going to come up a bit wet, we're thinking, which obviously brings Jungle Edge right into it. Off a freshen, obviously, through after his Queensland Carnival. He is my second pick. Tycoon Tara got the Group 1 under the belt in the Queensland Carnival. She won this race last year. She's going to be not far away. And I put Invincible Gem in for fourth. She'll improve on whatever she does. But, yeah, I'm with the class, Le Romaine.
You'd think Tycoon Tara would be going to the breeding barn this spring, would you? Now she's got her Group 1.
I think that is the plan, to give her a few runs.
Pick up as much as she can before then.
Yep.
Carl, who are you with?
Yeah, Tycoon Tara. I think she can pick up this race for the second year in a row. She, of course, won this race last year and then I think won the Expressway second up. And in doing so, in winning the Expressway, she actually beat La Romaine, who was first up that day. I don't think there's too much between them. I think Tycoon Tara carries a bit more residual fitness. La Romaine probably has bigger fish to fry later this campaign. And I think whilst he's best is the better than any other horse in this race, so I just wonder about his complete fitness. So I've gone 7 to beat the 1, 3 the Monster in for 30. He's up and firing in good form, and for 4th number 4, Boss Lane, who seems to always run well at Randwick.
Joel, your best bet comes up earlier on the program. Race 2, in fact, number 4, the well-named Long Time Ago.
He always had a bit of time for this filly or mare now. She's well-bred, and breeding suggested she was always going to improve once she got out over a bit of ground, and she finally gets up to a decent distance on Saturday. She's out of the Oaks winner Once Were Wild by Reduce Choice. She was good first up, beaten by a heavily backed one second up, and then last week she got into a good spot over the 1500. Didn't really handle the corner all that well, and at one stage early in the straight looked like she was going to run midfield or worse, but didn't mind her last 100 metres. She sort of rallied and ended up finishing pretty close to the place getters. Senior rider Josh Parr back on, who won first up aboard her, and the step out to 1800's perfect. A bit surprised she came up sort of equal favourite. Thought you might have got a little bit better, but I think she'll be very hard to beat nevertheless. And my value bet is in the last, race 9, number 9, Bolero King, who returned from a long spell with a good win first up, was good second up behind Torpenhow, and then had no luck last start behind Kings of Leon. Gets a weight turnaround on that galloper. It's a pretty handy race, this last race, but I think at around $10, he's worth a bet each way.
Best bet for me is race 8, number 2, Sandro Vesey, who has been racing well of late, but just hasn't won from her past three starts. She was caught in the inferior section of the ground 2 starts ago at Warwick Farm when drawing the inside barrier, and finished midfield behind Isovich, only beating the length and a half. And then last time, she got back in the field, and in the race dominated by those up on the speed, she ran the best closing splits to finish third. The Quinella sat first and second. Barrier three, down in weight, not a great deal of depth. I think Sandrovesi can get the job done. Value Bet comes up in the last race. Nine, number 16, Alluvian. This is a four-year-old mare by one more. Three from three on provincial tracks, yet to be placed from eight attempts in town. But the two runs this campaign have been encouraging and strong three-year-old handicaps, beaten 2.5 lengths on each occasion from wide barriers. Key thing for me is that she drops 8 kilos in weight. She meets Kings of Leon 6 kilos better from their recent meeting at Warwick Farm, and she draws kindly in barrier four. So I think she'll be within striking distance and is definitely worth an each-way bet at 26-1.
Flemington, the venue for Melbourne Racing on Saturday. Big card, 10 races with the additional from last Saturday's blown-out Caulfield meeting. So there should be a bit of value there, Joel, although they're not huge fields. What have you found for us?
I made my best early race one, number one, Azazel. I think he can prove himself to be a top-class three-year-old this time in. He's going to improve when he gets out over further. I think he's always given that impression, but I think with a couple of nice jump-outs under his belt, Winkers applied first up, he will be very hard to beat and will go on to win a nice race. So I'm keen on him. Get a bit of a bank for Lord Von Costa as my value, race five, number six. I like the $10, $11 each way for him. He's run some good races down the straight. He was excellent at Wagga, chasing home Santa Ana Lane, who then went to the Goodwood and ran a good race. He had about 7.5 weeks off after that run, and he appeared down the straight last time out. He finished alongside Playmaster there, who's since won. His run wasn't that bad. I think 1,200 suits better. And, yeah, in a pretty winnable race, I would have thought. $10, nice price for him. Just a couple of roughies maybe to throw into your multiples. Race two, number three, Domino Vitale. Was a third up winner last prep. She could be ready to improve at odds. And Kawabata, race six, number 13. She's come back in good order. It was a good third behind Yogi. She then won well, second up. Didn't think she was too bad last time. Gets nice weight relief down to the 54 kilos from a decent gait at 30-1. I think she's worth throwing in your trifectas.
Best bet for me is race nine, number 17, Sinta, to win the first emergency in that race. It's a fairly strong benchmark 84 race. You've got the likes of Divine Mesterati, Portman, Revolving Door. They're going to generate plenty of market support between them, but I just think Sinta win. New Zealand form's quite strong. Three wins from five starts, the last two over 1,600. Both those wins came in smallish, well, not smallish fields, the first one not, but settled handy to the speed and showed a nice turn of foot on both occasions. I think from the barrier, can just settle for the midfield, and I think we'll be strong at the end of 1,400. Pillow Desai actually resumed in a similar sort of race before they kind of earmarked him as a Toorak handicap horse, and I think Sinta win's going to be afforded the similar opportunity to progress through the grades off a low handicap. He certainly looks wound up off recent jump outs. And in the last comes my roughie, which is Prescott, race 10, number 14. For the reasons I outlined last week, I've just got to have another crack at him and hopefully they can hold the race. It's maybe in pitch darkness at 5 minutes past five, but he'll get back and run home.
My best race 6, number 7, Yogi, and my value bet race 8, number 14, Harden. Racing on the Parks track at Morfordville, Carl. And what can we look forward to on the racing.com coverage?
You'll still have to be patient for my best bet. Some things don't change. Race 8, number 3, I love what he brings. This horse I tipped as the value bet last time, and it ran fourth at $26, so that was a pleasant experience. But third up from a spell, should be peaking now out to the, well, stays at 1,400, but I think 1,600 is probably its optimum distance. Hopefully it's not too wet. We haven't seen I Love What She Brings on a heavy track, and if the track is too heavy, it might just negate her turn of foot. The value bet, I should say, comes up in race 5, and that is, as I turn the pages, race 5, number 12, Wrong Door Reggie. This horse is the last start winner at Geelong. It drew a wide barrier, sat three wide with cover in about sixth position, and finished off strongly to win over the 1,700 last time. No problem rising to the 1950 or the prospect of a heavy track being a previous heavy track winner. So Wrong Door Reggie's a good H-way price.
All righty, Joel Doombin, The field's not quite as massive there this week, but still the now standard 9 races for Brisbane. And in stark contrast to Carl's usual practice, you are going early, races 1 and 2 for your specials.
Yeah, let's hope it's not a long day after that. My value is in race 1, number 8, Reef Knot, from the Les Ross stable. Tricky race for these 3-year-olds. We saw most of them in the mile race a fortnight ago. I don't think there's much between them. Reef Knot, sort of the new blood here. He wasn't bad 2 starts back. Really chased the line. I just found the trip a bit short, but I thought the last 100 metres was good. He then went to Ballina last start. Got beaten by the horse who had run second to Snapchat Girl, who beat most of these in that mile race a fortnight back, and they gapped third. So I think Reef Knot will certainly appreciate the mile. And my best bet, possibly going off one run too soon, but if there's money for him, as there was for our selection last week, Meet and Greet, who was just backed as if unbeatable, and he won. This horse from the same stable, trainer John Marr, Lascar. He's had 3 runs back from a long break. Last 2 at the mile. He stayed at the mile last week, and he was wide and kept finding the line. He wants 2,200. Whether he wants it Saturday or in one run's time, that's the question mark, but it's a winnable race, and he's got Robbie Fratt on it. So at $11, I think he's a good bet.
All right, Belmont, the venue for Perth racing on Saturday, and you might not have had a close look at these, Joel. Can you tell us anything?
I can tell you, what can I tell you? I have looked at the last race. There was something in the last that took my fancy, and it was Schooner, which is also Greg Hooper's tip, Greg Hooper from the Winning Post. Ex-Chris Waller horse import. He's been racing really well in the West. Been thereabouts, hasn't broken through, but he looks to have struck a pretty winnable race. He'll certainly be hard to beat in the last. And in the third race, Patapus was impressive last start. Showed a really good turn of foot. And on the basis of that, I don't think he'll start favourite. I think Snowlord will be well backed with Willie Pike to ride, and you can back Patapus again with a bit of confidence.
A quick mention there at Belmont, Adam McGrath, who used to do the form in Perth for Sky, worked for Perth Racing, and that was his coverage was on Sky Channel. He's now with racing.com, and they'll be covering Adelaide from Wednesday, while his colleague Mark Olmos actually has his last day for Perth Racing on Saturday at Belmont. He'll start up at Sky Channel from the Sydney studios after Belmont on Saturday. So a case of shifting chairs, I guess, in the media landscape in Perth.
Indeed. And earlier in the day on Saturday, Joel, New Zealand with Tarapa and Riccarton.
Yeah, Riccarton has the Group 3 Winter Cup. The track's a heavy 11, so that'll be a real slog. Race 8 on the program. I made my value bet Platinum Command. She was favourite for the race last year, ran second, just beaten. Questionable how well she's going this time in, but she hasn't been to a mile yet, and I'm just hoping that can be the key up to a mile, and they've probably just had their eyes on this race. She's in with the 56.5, so going to take a little punt on her returning to her best, Platinum Command. My best is Wise Move, race 9 at number 2. He's got a big finish, this horse. He just gets too far back in his races, and that's cost him winning more often than not, but big run last start for second, and he'll be charging home. He gets through the heavy ground, and if he can get within striking distance coming to the turn, he'll be very hard to hold out. Tarapa is the other meeting. My best bet is Checkout, race 8, number 7. Always given the impression that she'd be a nice stayer. She gets past 1600 for the first time, out to the 2100 metres, and looks well placed in benchmark 65 class. And couldn't have had it hard to find a value bet, but first starter in the first race, De Koning, who's a not from a big name stable but trained locally, has had a couple of nice trials. The top 2 in the race have won races, and they'll be hard to beat, but at a bit of odds, maybe De Koning might be worth a little bet.
Alrighty, well, that wraps up a big Saturday around Australasia. On Sunday, we head to Ladbrokes Park, Sandown Lakeside, for a big 9 race card with the 2 jumps features, the Crisp Steeple and the Grand National Hurdle, and of course the rescheduled Bletchingley Stakes, where I'm certainly still with Lankin Rupee, despite the our old pal last year's winner, Lord of the Sky, who had a scratchy gallop last week and did not accept for the race, but is now back. And there is no Superdome. So, how have your thoughts about the Bletchley Lee changed over the ensuing 8 days?
Well, I'll be sticking with Savannah Amore. Had something on her last week. There was a bit of support for her too early in the day. I think she got in from 10s to around 750 at one point, so there was a bit of support for her. So yeah, she's my top pick, but Duke of Brunswick, certainly a case. I know Carl was giving him a big chance. He was in my four. But yeah, I'll be backing Savannah Amore.
Yeah, Duke of Brunswick, I'm staying low with it for the reasons outlined last week. I think the track difference is that those that want a more forgiving surface are going to get it at Sandown. Caulfield can play on the firmish side and probably Mert the Flirt, maybe Santa Ana Lane, advantage by the change to Sandown as opposed to maybe Ability and Charmed Harmony, those Caulfield trained horses, they might be placed at a small disadvantage. But a fairly even lineup, but a decent one for the Bletchingley.
And the Chris Wells just goes around and wins or not?
I had a good look at that race, to be honest, but yeah, you'd have to think he'd be pretty hard to beat again. Interesting that Sea King's in the hurdle because they couldn't get a trial into him. He needs to trial to qualify to run in a steeple, and I think the plan was to trial after the race the other day, but they moved the trials and he couldn't get a trial into him, Paddy Payne, so Sea King's in the hurdle. Maybe it's Sea King Wells double again.
Yeah, I'll just be watching on. Haven't had a really good look. I'm not
King of the Forest, a horse I've been backing through the jump season.
He's been consistent, yeah. Running thirds and fourths.
He ran a good place, yeah. Divvy on the first day of the Warrnambool Carnival. Mm. Keeps racing well. He gets back, but he stays all right. So I think, yeah, if you're just looking for a little something each way, that's going to give you a run for your money. He's a pretty safe jumper. King of the Forest, maybe.
All right, well, speaking of a run for your money, that leaves us with... only to let you to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. No calendar in it this week, of course, but still plenty of great reading. In fact, hopefully for those of you who don't get it every week and just pick it up last week for the calendar, you were reminded of how many excellent features as well as how much good form there is for Friday, Saturday and Sunday in your winning post. And still, can you believe it, only $5? And finally, our best $20 bet for the weekend. I might go with Yogi, which is Caulfield race. Someone.
Yogi is in race six,
number seven.
Maybe what a Codral or a Soothers might be the bet of the week for you, something like that.
It might be.
My best is Long Time Ago, Randwick, race two, number four.
And I'll go Prescott each way, race 10, number 14 at Flemington.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Bet plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week on the preview podcast.